Staying at the Hotel Ivy has many pitfalls and traps. But then again, that's why the guests come, don't they? Because they all know that there's an opportunity for them to lose in the best possible way. It's a desire that many of the clients share when they come to stay here. Something alluring about knowing that every little thing could just take you out in some utterly delightful and kinky way. That's the appeal, anyways. And surely, there must be some innocent things here, for there's plenty of places you can eat, where the worst that happens is just an evening spent, a little bit altered, a little bit changed, a little bit different than when you arrived. And of course, your hotel room certainly doesn't seem cursed or trapped or dangerous. The first few nights, I'm sure, were easy enough. Until you notice something in the closet, hanging, oh so very innocently, a well-pressed, well-kept maid uniform, apron, and jumper skirt, and blouse, and tights, and cute little Mary Jane shoes with adorable little heart buckles, carefully embroidered apron bearing the name of the hotel, little headpiece and ribbons, garters, all so utterly appealing. Sure, you were able to ignore it yesterday, but there is that part of you when you steal back to the room. Well, it's not like you had anything else planned tonight. It's not like it could go any more wrong than anything else has gone here. And by wrong, one would hope right. Surely, whatever awaits if you were to give it a try can't be that bad. It does kind of call to you, even now as you sit on the bed looking across the room into the closet, seeing the edge of the outfit poking out, the garment bag still holding it snugly inside. It's like a torch in the night, burning, drawing your eyes to it. It's hard to look away when you have an interest like that. You've tried so hard. You were supposed to do something, but honestly, the entire itinerary has fallen apart. What you really want is to put it on. It's like there's a magnetic pull, like you're about to pass that threshold where two magnets just snap together with a faint. You know that wonderful feeling that you get when you just can't hold back any longer and you just give in to your desires? Oh, how that fire has burned until the resistance that once clung, until the resistance that was keeping you back from something so enchanting is gone, and in a flash you're up to your feet across the room, pulling the garment bag out, carefully pulling the shoes out from their pouches, setting down the undergarments. And as you do, each motion suddenly feels so calculated, so utterly perfect, as though you were always meant to do it this particular way. Shoes on the floor next to the bed, hose, undergarments, all there, and each piece laid out where it should be. Stripping yourself naked is easy enough when you're guided by this whim, this interest, this desire. Every touch that you've made with the garment seems to secure, bind, grip, control that path, pulling it in like the infinite event horizon, beyond whatever was before, and whatever was before surely could not resist what it is to put this outfit on. Starting with those delicate silk panties and a silk slip so utterly soft on your skin, like a kiss, like a gentle brushing of the wind, followed up by a blouse and garters, and then a jumper skirt pulled overhead, and of course, followed now, well, carefully, by stockings. The way they slip up your legs feels like they're giving you a gentle hug, a gentle touch. And as each garment, as each part attaches to you, it feels like you're completing the set, as though each piece was more and more powerful, as each piece slides into place, as though you were more and more fit to play the role, as though the role was you and the role was simple. The role of a sweet, soft, submissive, and demure maid. It's a powerful feeling, isn't it? The garments seeming almost to become the role that you are supposed to be, the role that you know you're supposed to be. Feeling your hair carefully drawn into suddenly lengthening and well-piled braids, as if by invisible fingers, finding that as you place the headpiece on your head, it slips between them, the hair all aligning so perfectly, bows flowing up, up, wrapping around your arms, slithering so swiftly up to your head, leaving little electric sparks behind as they wrap up and bind into your hair, leaving bows that pull these newly made braids into perfect positions arranged around the head, practical yet beautiful. Catching a glimpse of yourself in the mirror, you can already see that things have shifted, things have changed, that you look more proper, that your posture is shifting, that your expression has grown soft, your eyes seeming vacant. Noticing now as you lift the apron to tie and fasten it. Oh, oh, it's like a white, soft glove had slipped over your whole mind, and yet it was so unyielding that all you could ever do was take the shape that it made for you, the shape of a maid. And in that moment, truth can be as simple as that. And as simple as it is all-consuming. A good maid, after all, doesn't struggle against their role. They conform. They complete what they are asked to do. And in that moment, you can hear the hotel singing, hear the words of the other maids, the thoughts of the other maids, distant but insistent, duties being performed, finding now as you complete your outfit, slipping your shoes on, taking note of your outfit, giving a gentle spin to look in the mirror and watch your skirts and petticoat flare out, again lost in the sensations until suddenly, with a snap, you go rigid, staring blankly into the mirror, hands dropping by your sides, body stiff like stone, until suddenly there's a pressure that builds up, a pressure between your ears, a pressure behind your forehead, behind your eyes, until your eyes blank out, until your mind feels as though it's being pressed into a diamond of submission. A simple truth, a simple existence, an obedient, subservient maid. You exist in service, and in service you exist. Good maids are so easily molded, and you are certainly a good maid. Feeling as though the clothing itself had forged and shaped you as well as if you had been crafted from the very ground up to be a maid. Finding that there's this pleasure that comes in seeing yourself submit to the will of this outfit, to the will of the hotel, to being a maid. Your heart feeling light and your head feeling vacant until a force pushes, a motive, an energy, a twisting of intent. The maids all serve, and you turn on your foot, each step precise, each step calculated to swish and sway the dress side to side, to let your hips roll, to let your body move in a way that feels almost mechanical and yet lively, springy, and swaying in all the right ways. As you find yourself swiftly walking out of the room, carrying yourself with poise and daintiness that is so very natural now. After all, a good maid should look their very best while they perform their duties. And it feels so good to know the truth of your duties now as you're drawn down into the hotel, finding yourself following a path that only your service can show you. Before you know it, arriving in one of the tea rooms. And all of it becomes so clear. Forgetful? No. Forgetting to remember to forget? Maybe. Thoughts unfocused? Absolutely. Until, with crystal clarity, all that was outside the room fades. Knowing your place in this dance is what matters. Knowing how to service and submit is what matters. And you do deserve that, don't you? An opportunity to show how purposeful you are, how utterly submissive and delightful you can be. What a perfect maid. You're made for this, after all. It's as if that headband tightened a little bit more, as though something was lapping at the edges of your mind. And as you perform your duties, as you find yourself carrying trays of teas, guiding guests to sit down at tables, asking for their orders, bringing them and pouring their tea. Well, it's as though that lapping, those gentle, squeezing, squirming, wiggling things, those tendrils that seem to eat away at all that is outside of being what you are right now. They seem to grow hungrier. They seem to consume more, as though a void was worming its way in through your ears, as though countless tendrils were twisting and coiling inside until they met and interconnected, locking in place the maid-like behaviors, the maid-like truths. The maid is a subservient and obedient creature in service to those above. Maids do not need to have desire. They simply submit and serve. And that smile grows all the more placid, that face like a simple mask, a mask that bears empty bliss. Feeling it now as each act of submission, each act of being grows more pleasurable. The outfit seeming in itself to bring joy, to bring pleasure, to become more and more a maid. It is easy enough to be made this way. It is better yet to obey this way. Such a darling, sweet maid. It feels as though the tendrils were locking together one by one until the void, the emptiness inside your head, was made up of countless wound together threads, a tapestry forming inside. A canvas, a smooth piece of fabric, and inside is inscribed, on each thread, in each layer, obedience, submission, deference, duty, discipline, docile, darling maid. It's easy to think these thoughts when all that is inside is a maid, all that is out is a maid. All that is and isn't a maid is what is this maid. Thoughts looping in on themselves, being strung out into the threads. That blissful smile becoming a true illustration of the delightful pleasure that is taken in submission. A good maid obeys, and you are a very good maid after all. Looking down at yourself, you can see the truth spelled out across your body. It seems to have shifted and changed throughout the course of your duties, gaining an otherworldly beauty, a delightful, wonderful delicateness, seeming fragile, shatterable, and yet strong enough to lift and move anything that you might need to. Feeling now as if the void inside had eaten away all things other than the maid, until the maid is simply a maid. Until the desires of the maid are simply to be a maid, to serve, to submit to the will above those who command. Even as another maid walks by, all you see is another extension of this service and submission. even as you find yourself in front of the headmaid, you know she, too, is just like you, and yet her authoritativeness cannot be false. It is strong. She stands taller than the rest of the maids. She examines you, noting that you seem to have adapted to your position well. She looks over your uniform, commenting that you've done well in getting dressed properly, that you've done everything today so very perfectly. Brushing a hand across your cheek, she sends sparks of submission tumbling through your little hat, the tendrils weaving themselves all the tighter. Yes, you've done well, maid, but I think you deserve more than just a compliment. She leans down, towering over you, pulling you off of your feet until you're on your tiptoes in an embrace that seems all too emotional, and yet her eyes gleam with the purple emptiness of the abyss as she kisses you, and oh, she kisses you, her tongue wrapping, diving in, finding, questing, longer than it should be, and yet so good, filling you with more of those maid-like desires, reaming out what little human lives behind, leaving only a docile maid, a void maid, a maid who is part of this hotel, finding that tongue pressing in, lips brushing against lips, soft embrace, the smell of jasmine blowing across one's nose, and then in a moment she pulls back that tendril, leaving, and as it does, all that was before is gone, and only a maid can remain, eyes gleaming purple, vision swirling, everything more intently true. Her eyes gleam as she smiles, and in a moment spins you and sends you back on your way, joining into the lockstep automata of all the other maids, each carrying out the end-of-day duties, before long finding yourself drifting step by step back towards the deep heart of the hotel, stairs, hidden secret passages leading you down, down, down. And as you do, your mind drifts into a maid-like miasma of pleasure, knowing your duties are complete for the day. Thoughts are unnecessary, and as thoughts become unnecessary, the surroundings do not matter. Your steps in beat with the pulse of the deepest layers of this place. Before you know it, individuality is gone, and all that remains is the will of service and submission that all the maids share, all the maids submitting, all the maids going, all the maids obeying, all the maids made to be this way. And sleep comes so easily when you're like this, hardly even knowing where one might be asleep. Sleeping, sinking, and slipping away into that wonderful, blank, mindless submission. As you sleep, it's easy enough to let go, to drift, to feel yourself pulled along by ephemeral threads into a dreamscape, a place in which self can be separated out from experience, reset, return to how it was, leaving behind anything that should not continue on, anything that is not wanted in that world of wakefulness. Easy enough to let go of it. You can always revisit anything you leave behind, and of course you can take all the memories with you. The memories of being in that place, in that state of being a good maid. Drifting, letting the world become crystallized and substantive once more, allowing yourself to drift back to the waking world, allowing yourself to become more present, aware, and awake with each passing second, drifting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 and 10, and wide awake, feeling wonderful and refreshed. Thank you so very much for listening.